The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Bright Side Chat.
Hey, welcome back to the Bright Side. Let's not waste any time listening to me, John, and I talk about all the Comic-Con news, give our opinions, our ideas, then we do our recommended reading, we talk about this week in comics, and then our subject for the week, which was going to be Stranger Things, that'll be dropping on Monday. More information on that will come in the podcast. So let's hurry up and get in the store. Hey, John. Here we are again. I didn't even have a chance to miss you.
I was going to say, long time no see.
How was your flight back?
Man, I tell you, I've got frequent flyer miles. I could probably go to like the Congo and back for free.
Hey,
with all this traveling that I do.
We're racking them up.
I know it.
Yep. And thank you for asking. My flight down was lovely.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's all about me, man. I don't really care about what you're doing.
Oh,
I can only keep this ruse going for so long, man.
What ruse? Yeah, not really. I mean, last night was great. So, I mean, we can just jump right into this. Little change of the format. Well, why don't we talk about that for a second? We have so much stuff to do today with, Comic-Con. And then we're going to do our standard, our books and our recommended reading. And then we're actually going to take and we're going to we'll be doing Stranger Things will come out on Monday morning. So, you know, for those of you listening, we're going to try and break it up and put something out twice a week now, Monday mornings and Thursdays. So hopefully that works out. Same amount of content, just a little bit easier for us. It should, hopefully it all works out. We'll see how it goes. But we got lots to go through tonight with Comic-Con, and who knows how far this is going to take us, because once we get
we'll
going
see
on some of these subjects. First off, before we get into our list here, I know there's two things on there that surprised me. I don't want to say what they are yet. How many things on there surprised you?
Well, I don't know if you're going to make me look at the list again now.
Well, I just knew them off the top of my head, because my point is most of this stuff we talked about. And as we go through them, I know one in particular, you and I already talked about it. We talked about it last night, that you talked about back in the fall.
Well, there's some – I mean, there's some casting news that was surprising to me, but most of the announcements did not come as a surprise. I mean, I'm looking at – a couple. I mean, I could see two or three that were surprises for me. But for the most part, this was known information to some degree, at least through rumors that we have. Like, again, I don't want to say we're way ahead of the curve, but we've talked about some of this stuff
months ago. Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah, a lot of this stuff. And it was like, that's why when the news was coming out, I was like, yeah. And then you see the people on Twitter like, oh, my God, this is amazing. And you're like,
so I am just going to say we are way ahead of the curve, so you should be listening to us. Because we broke the Swamp Thing cancellation news about a month before anybody else did.
That was
so
funny.
So it's like,
I still remember where I was in the parking lot where it was like, I saw it. I'm walking at work, and I was like, we talked about this last week. I'm like, what the heck?
Yeah.
I don't think we broke anything. I just think other people are late online just getting to it and they're surprised by it, but
maybe so,
whatever.
Yeah,
but so before we get to all that, this isn't really Comic-Con, but how about James Cameron putting out the congratulations to the Russo brothers for Endgame surpassing them? Did you see his tweet that he put from Avatar?
I did. More of his made-up language. And then,
I was going to ask you to read that for me.
I don't speak cat.
Yeah.
So what is it? Navi? Aren't they the Navi or whatever?
Kimmy, I see you, Marvel, I think is what he's saying. That's what it says. Ol Nagadi Kami? Or what, I don't know.
Yeah.
And then it says, I see you, Marvel.
Means.
Congratulations to Avengers Endgame on becoming the new box office king.
Yeah, there's still some people putting like the asterisk next to that, like, you know, the 61 home run asterisk, because they're still saying that. Well, because they're saying that adjusted for inflation, Avatar was still, you know, is still a higher box office total. I think that still remains to be seen. Like, time will prove.
Yeah, but they also did it in a lot. They did it in shorter time.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Endgame is still going to keep making money. Like, by the time you get to the where Endgame has been in the theaters for 27 weeks or whatever Avatar was, it will pass that total too. But I saw a few people out there that I guess are, you know, Avatar lovers and, you know, maybe Marvel haters. But, you know, and it does make sense because, you know, $1 billion 20 years ago was worth a lot more than $1 billion today.
Yeah.
It took more people to get...
Was Avatar 20 years ago, though?
It took more people...
That wasn't... It was only, like, not even 10, no? How long ago was that?
Well, no, it was more than 10.
Titanic was 20 years ago.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. But even still, if you divide the box office... If you divide ticket price into the total, it took more people to get Avatar to their total.
Years ago,
so
2009.
Yeah,
so, that's what the Google.
I mean, I get what
says.
They're saying. Yeah, I get what they're saying, but to me, you know, $3 billion is $3 billion, or you know, whatever.
Yeah, they're getting close to that. And you're nickel and diamond here, and even for inflation over 10 years, who knows? I think the market might have been better then than it is now. I don't know.
Well, maybe, but I know ticket prices were less. But in either case, you know, Cameron's, you know, he's out there doing his congratulations. So, I mean, this is really just at this point Disney beating Disney. So. They win either way.
Well,
because
I might be wrong, but which I often am. didn't they charge more because it was 3D? Don't you charge more for a 3D movie? And the whole point of Avatar was seeing it in 3D. So couldn't that even it out? Because like for inflation, it's like, even it out. Like we were actually paying the same back then for a 3D movie that you're paying for a standard movie now.
Yeah, I mean it's possible. I know a lot of like
we don't have much to talk about tonight, so I'm just trying to keep this argument going.
I know. I was gonna say I don't know how long we're gonna go on this, but I saw it twice in theaters, once just in regular 2D, and then I did spend the money to go see it in 3D IMAX. So,
yeah, I saw it. I know I saw it twice in 3D, and I kind of did the opposite that I do now, where you go now and like you seek it out. Like Into the Spider-Verse, I had to find it in 3D, and I was glad I did. But Avatar, it was like I actually wanted to see what it was like in 2D after seeing it twice in 3D, and I remember being like, "Yeah, you got to see it in 3D," because that's when you're like in 2D, you were like, "It's not really that great."
Well, yeah, I actively try to avoid 3D. I don't like it really overall. But that movie is, I will say it's the one and only movie that I would stand by.
Yes.
Saying that, you know, 3D is really where it's at for, for that movie. And IMAX 3D was really pretty impressive.
And that's the only movie movie I own in my collection in 3D. And my projector, I don't even have a 3D system. But when I get it, that's what I want to see. Because I remember that was really good.
It was.
So, and then just to finish up on that, did you see the Russo brothers' reply to him?
No.
Oh, it was really good. It says, to at James Cameron, you're a monumental reason why we fell in love with film in the first place. Thank you for always inspiring us and opening the world's eyes to what's possible. We can't wait to see where you take us next. And then they had the three. They have four movies at the bottom, and it was Terminator, and then it was them like the silhouettes, kind of like Mystery Science Theater.
Yeah,
and it's then them holy shit, you know, blank, and then Aliens, Titanic, and Avatar, and all four screens of them, the two Russo brothers watching the movie, saying holy shit, you know.
Right.
So I thought that was a great reply because Cameron really.
That's two for you this week, by the
way. What's that?
That's $2 into the screen.
I never finished that. I said, holy shit. I never said the T at the end.
That's three.
See? But yeah, Cameron.
It's not me this week, boys and girls.
I didn't finish the word. Language. we seriously, I got to get that sounder from what you call it? What's the movie?
I don't even.
Yeah, you do. Age of Ultron.
Well, I mean, I don't remember which one he said.
Yeah, Age of Ultron. It was the beginning of Age of Ultron. Okay. It was like, yep, not going to live that one down. All right, so let's see. Where do we want to go? Did you hear? All right, let's get right into some of these news things.
Yeah, I mean, see, you've got a list, so let's just start go going. Down
Fantastic Four in development. Rumors are Kevin Feige actually said that it's in development. A lot of people are very excited about that one.
Well, in development just means they've had preliminary conversations about it. I mean, it was in development the second they spent $20 billion to buy Fox.
Yeah.
You know, how far along they are in the process. It's definitely a Phase 5 movie, not Phase 4. So
right. Well, Phase 4 is already, and we'll get into more of this, but Phase 4 is already, I think, larger than the other phases.
It's pretty big. Well, but a lot of that is Disney Plus.
Which, but that's still pretty big because it's a lot of content to absorb. Okay, Doctor Strange, May 7th, 2021. Mm-hmm.
So supposedly the first foray for Marvel into the horror genre is what they're saying. So that excites me a lot because, you know, Doctor Strange is the character that would have those type of villains and experiences. So I'm really interested to see where they go with that and what that means. Because, you know, even in Doctor Strange 1, which they didn't call a horror movie, you know, Dormammu is, you know, like a demon. You know. So I don't know how much darker you go from there, but I'm interested to see where they go.
Yeah, and that one – and so that one there, you know, Multiverse of Madness – that leads me to, this was one of my surprises, the Blade with...
I'm going to let you say his name.
Mahershala Ali.
Mahershala? Yeah.
Yes.
Is that right?
Mahershala Ali.
Mahershala.
Yeah, Mahershala Ali. I've heard it a bunch, and I've been practicing it. So if I screwed it up, I practiced it wrong.
I thought
it was,
Mahershala.
Yeah, Mahershala. So Mahershala Ali.
Going to have to get to know it now.
Which...
So I was going to say, does that movie now just completely invalidate the Netflix universe being part of the MCU?
Why?
Because he played Cottonmouth on Luke Cage. So he can't be Cottonmouth and Blade all at the same time. So I think...
Wasn't he also... And he was also in House of Cards on Netflix.
Yeah, but House of Cards doesn't have anything to do with the MCU. I mean, but Luke Cage is directly tied to the MCU, or directly tied to Marvel, at least. So I don't know. I think, you know, they've skirted around it for a while anyways by not including any of that. So I think now they're just wiping their hands of it all and saying it's not part of our plans or what we're doing.
How funny would it be if they did tie it in?
That'd be weird. I don't know how you go from Cottonmouth to fighting vampires, but I guess there's weirder things that have happened in comic books. So
I think seeing the pictures of them, and I don't know if they're, it's like when you're going through Twitter or anywhere, the pictures they use, he really does look like, I mean, he just looks the part.
Yeah, he does. Now, he wouldn't have been my first thought when, if somebody told me they were recasting Blade, he wouldn't have came to mind immediately.
I'm one of the worst people for that, and it's like there's people I follow on Twitter that are great at it, at like casting, and you're like, oh, that would be great. But somebody asked me, and I'm like, I don't know. But then when I see something, I go, that's perfect.
Yeah, he looks good. I think he's going to be great. I don't know. I'm sure you saw Wesley Snipes' response to
it was awesome.
Being cast, which I thought was pretty classy. Yeah. But, you know, I mean, who thought – you know, I mean, I guess Blade is timeless, but Wesley Snipes is not. So, I mean, it's been 20 years or more since Blade.
Yeah,
so, I don't think he was really even in the talks to come back as Blade.
I was scrolling through Twitter, and you got, you know, those clickbait sites, and they're like, I won't mention their names. I don't even know why I follow them, or some of them I don't, but other people we do that follow us will like it or something. And be like, the real reason Wesley Snipes wasn't asked, he's
old. I saw that just a little while ago. Yeah. Well, no, but it said something like he's too difficult to work with or something.
Come
on.
That
just a little while ago.
He was so difficult, they made three movies with him before.
Exactly. But, I mean, did anybody think... Well, I guess in the world where Sylvester Stallone is still playing Rambo, I guess Wesley Snipes could still play Blade, but Blade as a character is not supposed to age.
Right.
So I don't know how... Well, I guess with technology, they could probably make it happen, but I don't know. I don't think it was ever really a thing that he was going to come back and play Blade.
There's no real reason to.
And I think this guy is, like I said, he's going to be spot on.
Yeah, Mahershala Ali, I think he kind of looks like a younger Wesley Snipes, too.
He does, and he's a great actor. I mean, I really liked him in True Detective. I liked him in Luke Cage. I've seen him in a few things. And I think he's going to be really good. So
yeah, yeah. He's and like I said, that one there. I don't think we talked about Blade. I hadn't heard.
I don't know if we did or not, but I had heard Blade. Like I knew Blade was.
Well, then would you bring it up?
A thing. Well, you know.
We're slipping.
At least I had been hearing rumors of Blade for a couple of months now. That wasn't one of the ones that surprised me actually.
Okay. Okay, moving on. Yeah. Black Widow, David Harbour, and
I like David Harbour. So
playing the Red Guardian,
I think that'll be good. Yeah, not a character I'm super familiar
with.
Me
neither.
But,
I looked into it a little bit. Married to Black Widow. I didn't know that.
Yeah,
it's like the backstory is pretty cool.
Again, Black Widow is not as – we've all known about Black Widow for
right.
a while. The things that – not really even surprised me, you know, definitely they confirmed that this is our
May 2020 movie, which we already kind of knew. Well, because there was
right.
nothing else on the slate. And we knew that
right.
– like she – they were – she, I almost said she. They were supposed to start filming back – we were talking about it in the winter, and then it was like it got postponed right. from April to May or something for – and we're like, this has got to be the one because there was nothing else slated.
Right. The thing that did surprise me, though, was basically the statement that this is a post-Endgame timeline. So I don't know what that means.
I actually heard it was, after Winter Soldier. I thought it was between Winter Soldier.
Oh, you know what? I'm thinking of Wanda. Never mind. I'm thinking of Wanda.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm thinking of WandaVision.
This is supposedly I forget what it was, and I didn't put it in my notes.
Right, right, you're right. But one of the other rumors that did come true, though, is we talked about in our back issue bonus books several issues back. You'll have to find it. The character Yelena Belova as being a potential for this, and that character is confirmed to be part of this movie. So once again, we were way ahead of the curve. Talking about
well, what do you know? Comic book characters stuff. In the comic books we're talking about
know,
showing
right?
up in movies.
I know.
Who would have thunk it?
It's amazing.
So speaking of a comic book character showing up in a movie, and the Twitterverse exploded with Thor: Love and Thunder, and
so this was my huge surprise.
I was surprised that they're doing it. I was even more surprised at how many people never heard of, you know, Goddess of Thunder.
That doesn't surprise me at all. Because if you're not a comic book reader, you would have no idea that ever happened. You know, like, who outside of the comic books would even know that? It was never a thing in a movie or a TV show or a cartoon or anything. So that doesn't surprise me at all. I'm just really surprised they went there. Doubly surprised that Natalie Portman is coming back for the role because she had basically made it clear that she didn't want to have anything to do with that. I guess the fact that she gets to be Thor was enough to bring her
back.
Yeah,
but how much?
But I'm super excited for this. This is actually my number one thing I'm looking forward to out of the entire Phase 4. Because I loved that storyline in the comics.
Yeah.
I really liked that character. It is supposed to be very, very heavily based on that Jason Aaron run in the comics. I am super excited for this. I do have some questions about it.
I was just going to say, I'm like, so that's setting you up for disappointment.
Well, the thing is, there's things about it that I don't understand because, you know, Mjolnir is a huge factor in that movie.
Yep.
Or in that comic storyline. And as far as we know, Mjolnir doesn't exist anymore in the MCU. So that either means that Steve never went and put it back at the end of Endgame, or something else is afoot. Because if you know the storyline at all, you know, Odin's son becomes unworthy to carry Mjolnir. And I'm probably saying that wrong every time. But, you know, is unworthy to carry the hammer. Jane becomes worthy and becomes Thor. So I don't know how that plays out in the in the movie. I'm sure they've figured it out already. They're smarter than I am. But I do have questions about how they're going to pull it off. But
well,
other than that, I think it's...
Like, you know, anything they've ever done, they borrow from different parts. So, right. I mean, it's not going to be, you know, a page-for-page adaptation. And
no, I understand that.
There's nothing saying that they can't, you know, make another one. And maybe Thor will... Because the magic in the hammer was done by Odin. Was put right. in by Odin. And once it was destroyed, like, the right. axe doesn't have the magic, which we know.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. It has to be a weapon that has that enchantment.
Correct.
That makes the bearer have to be worthy to hold it. And that only existed in the hammer.
Right.
You know, if you go back in time and say Steve didn't put the hammer back, well, then that still invalidates all of what came after.
Well, he would have had to
because that
screws up a timeline. That you got poor right. Thor walking around with no hammer. It's
well, right, and he didn't hold it back so that Jane could get right. it later on. You
no,
know?
It's
so.
Going to be a story that as we sit here and try to speculate, you know, we're just making fools of ourselves, and they'll come up with something right. that. I mean, the other part, like I said, is you see all these people on Twitter. It's like, if you're paying attention to these movies, maybe you don't know about a specific character. But before you go off the handle, don't people realize that they're not making these characters up out of thin air? You know, right. it's like, I mean, we're 23 movies into this, people. It's like, don't you understand, like, these characters are grounded from somewhere?
The only thing I'll say is I am super looking forward to this. Like I said, Natalie Portman is not my favorite actress, so I hope that she does a better job than she has done in her previous acting roles for the most part. I didn't think she was a great Padme. I really didn't think she was a great
kid.
Jane Foster. I don't think she's a great actress overall, so hopefully she comes prepared, you know, for this movie. But I think it's going to be great. Obviously, there's going to be a lot of humor involved, I would imagine, because of the director. And I would expect it to have, you know, a lighter tone. But,
yeah it's definitely really, going to have a really lighter tone to coming it. Back with Taika Waititi.
Right. And again, it also, it just, Taika Waititi.
There you go.
That one I do know. But again, it also, it just brings up questions going further, because once again, we know that Chris Hemsworth has signed on to reprise, you know, his role in multiple movies. You know, if he becomes unworthy to be Thor, like, what is he? Is he just Fat Lebowski run? You know, it just brings up some questions that'll be really fun
yeah.
to see, you know, what his role is going forward in the MCU. You know, if she becomes Thor, what is he? You know, what does he become? So,
right.
Should yeah. be good. What I don't want to see is her storyline wrapped up in one movie. Like, if she's
right.
going to be Thor, I'd like to see her be Thor for maybe not like 10 movies, but at least a couple of times.
Right.
You know?
I don't think, and again, getting back into what we talked about in the past about Disney Plus and these actors, I don't think we're going to see a lot of one-offs. I you know, they're going to be signed on, and they're going to have at least appearances in other movies. You know, or shows.
Right.
So I don't think it. I'd be surprised if it was a one off for her.
Yeah, I don't think it will
yeah.
be, but I hope it's not. Like I said, to me, it's not a storyline. It's not a 2-hour storyline. Like, she
right.
was Thor for over a year in the comics, actually closer to 2 years. So, you know, she had a lot of things going on, and if that's where they're going to go, and I'm glad they are, I would like to see it carry on for a little while.
Yeah. So. All right. So let's move on. Yep. Next one, Hawkeye with Jeremy Renner, which we've been talking about since that was announced back in, I think, the fall.
Yeah, that was one of the first things we heard about, actually, for Disney Plus. Yep.
And but it doesn't come out for another year.
Yeah, it's like the last one that comes out that almost, was a surprise. But it was the first one we heard about. Yeah,
that it was one of the first announcements, but it's one of the later shows.
Right.
Actually, I don't know if it's – I think they're all coming – there's not a lot of Marvel Avenger stuff coming out soon on Disney Plus. I think they're all, if I remember right, as we go through, we'll see them. But I think they're all for next year.
Right. They're all at least a year in. So when Disney Plus launches, you know, we're going to have The Mandalorian and some of the Star Wars stuff. It looks like some of the Disney stuff is coming a little bit later. I have to believe, though, that is strategically timed to coincide with things that are going to be happening in the movie. Is this well,
oh yeah,
you know.
Oh, of course.
There's stories that they want to be told in a certain order that are going to affect everything going forward. So,
yeah, yeah, that's a great point. Thinking about it that way, it's like how everything is.
It's all a puzzle.
Yeah, and the way they're gonna. It's. I didn't even think of that. And how much, you know, and like the Kate Bishop, where is she going to play a role in a movie after that?
Well, there's no Avengers in Phase 4, but I would have to imagine there's some type of Avengers team for Phase 5, even if it's like a Young Avengers or like a New Avengers or something like that. Like, we're not going to get the Captain America, Iron Man, Thor Avengers back, but we may get like the War Machine, Falcon Cap with Kate Bishop, and you know, I have a feeling that that's what we're going to see from the Avengers going forward, and I definitely would expect Kate Bishop to play a role. Again, something we've talked about multiple times. We've talked about her first appearance at least 10 times on this podcast, because again, this is not a new rumor, it's just finally been confirmed you know, for us,
right.
So
we got Thor: Love and Thunder takes place before Guardians of the Galaxy 3. James Gunn confirmed that. Let's see. Oh, here's another one we talked about a while ago.
Well, actually, let's back up for that. Let's back up just a second on that, though, because that's surprising in a timeline perspective, because it calls into question whether Thor will appear in Guardians 3 now. You know what I mean? Like, when we leave off from Endgame, you know, it's definitely implied that Thor is going to be traveling around with the Guardians for a little while.
Yeah.
But if he shows up in Thor: Love and Thunder without the Guardians, that means he's already left there. Like, he's already left them to go back to Asgard or wherever. So now, does he come back for Guardians 3 or not? I don't know that we're going to get that Asgardians of the Galaxy that we kind of thought we were going to get.
Well, what if there's always the possibility? Have they said the timeline? We don't know, because that could answer the question on how we deal with the hammer. This could be a story
that takes place
before all of this, similar to Black Widow.
Right, but Marvel's not known for telling their stories out of order, you know?
Uh-huh.
Like, I don't think we're going to get Guardians 3 after Thor and have it take place before
Thor.
No.
You're misunderstanding.
Their movies are pretty linear.
Like, Guardians would be, like, right after Endgame, timeline-wise. But the Thor movie could take place, could be like a Black Widow, a backstory, having taken place in the past.
But then you have that
when
whole,
he had the
right,
hammer.
But then you have the whole question of why Jane... Like, where does Jane come in? Where does Jane get the hammer? If she's had the hammer all along, why wouldn't we have known about it or something? You know what I mean? I don't think that that's the case. You know, again, we could all be wrong. We don't
right,
know.
Right, exactly.
But
that would answer how he ends
but
up
I don't
in
think,
both,
I don't
why
think
the hammer
Love and,
shows
I,
up.
Yeah, I don't think that's a prequel movie, though.
I don't either, but that answers both of those questions, though.
I think the more obvious is that he just doesn't show up in Guardians 3.
That's too bad.
And yeah, it would be too bad, but I think that makes more sense the way they're going.
Right.
I think if Guardians 3, and this is really just a timing thing, Marvel's had to finagle because James Gunn is doing Suicide Squad.
Right. Oh, yeah.
But
absolutely.
I think the original plan was to have Guardians 3 come out much earlier than it's going to. And Thor was probably originally planned to be more of a part in that. But I think now circumstances are going to dictate that he kind of fades away from that movie. Which, again, like I said, it's a shame because that would have been such a great comedy.
Well,
you know, it would have been
great.
They
could still do it. And you open Love and Thunder with him with the Guardians, and then it's a quick...
Right, they drop him off for the weekend.
I gotta go.
I'll
be back.
Pick him up on Monday.
You know? And
right.
then he goes off and does his thing, and then comes back at the end of the movie. I mean,
right. I mean, obviously they could work it out if they want to, but I think just circumstances are going to kind of force that away.
Everything we're talking about right here leads into our next one. What if?
Okay. What if?
What if? And all of the animated series. What if? Mm-hmm. I'm really looking forward to this. I think it's going to be a blast. I think a lot of people, Goddess of Thunder, a lot of people didn't know that. And a lot of people are like, what is this? And I think this could be a fun thing that opens up, you know, just opens things up and you have a good time with it.
What I would like to see is that I would love to see them adapt some of the classic What If comics.
Yes.
Because there's been some great ones. But then I would also like to see this go on, hopefully long enough that there's new What Ifs that they're just throwing at us, you know, that they're making. I'd like to see original content, too. You know what
right.
I mean? Not something that we've already read in a comic. I don't know how long this will go on. I mean, this is the type of show that could go on for years, because you can What If Marvel for the next 50 years if you wanted to.
Oh, God, we're doing it right now.
with every
single one of these, what if they did this?
I can't think of the actor's name, but they did cast the Watcher. He's the guy from Westworld.
Yep.
I like him a lot, so I think he's got a great voice for the Watcher. That should be really cool. But like I said, there's so many classic What If stories that I'm sure they're going to adapt.
Well,
I would like at some point to see some new ones too.
Yeah, it's like I wouldn't be surprised if they do like a couple of classic ones, and like two or three classic ones. The first two or three episodes are classics, and then they do a couple of originals. They come up with their own.
That'd be cool.
Then they go back and do, and then they go back and forth.
Right.
But like you said, they could go on forever with this.
Right. It never has to end. So it just depends on how deep they want to go with it. But that's the type of thing. And, you know, it's animated. So, you know, I don't want to say animated. It's cheaper to produce. But, I mean, it's, you know, it's not a feature film. So, I mean, they could keep this thing going for a long time if they wanted to. Yeah.
And did you see the tweet today with Peggy Carter in the Captain America outfit?
Mm-mm.
It was live action. It was like Peggy's face.
Yeah.
And then they took like the Captain America, but they photoshopped it to a woman's body, and it looked really good. The photo was really good, and I was just like, oh, a live action What If? That would be
awesome. Yeah,
that would be really cool.
Yeah, we're not going to get that, unfortunately. Well, at least not right away. I mean, a live action What If would be great.
Yeah.
But but a little bit more expensive to pull off, so.
Yeah. Let's see. What else? What do we got next? Lost my place here. Oh, Loki.
Yep.
One we talked about many times.
Yeah, again, nothing, no surprise there.
Yep.
Well, again, I guess the only
Spring
real surprise 21. Is. Yeah, is that, you know. Originally, it was thought that it might be young Loki, and now they've come back and said that this is basically Loki from the splintered time Tesseract stream or whatever from Endgame. So so I guess it is Tom Hiddleston, you know, that's going to be Loki for the most part, which is great because I think he's a great actor and he's great at the part. So
yeah. And that, again, spring 2021, so that's, you know, over a year away, year and a half away, almost 2 years.
It is, but it feels like it's close to the Love and Thunder timeline. So again, that just makes sense that
Love and Thunder is November 21. November 5th, 2021.
Yeah. Right, and this said spring of 2021.
So this comes up
again,
before
But it's, again, it just feels like what I said, that these are strategically...
Right.
Loki was also one of the, I think, the first title we even heard of. But yet it's the last show we're going to get, because it's going to tie in, I'm sure, somewhere with Love and Thunder. Hell, it might even have something to do with the whole Jane Foster story. Who knows?
Right.
You know? I mean, if he's going around splintering timelines left and right or whatever he's doing with the Tesseract, you know, maybe that plays into that movie. So, what if episode 403? Thank you.
All right. Then we got WandaVision, spring 2021. Yep. Another one that we've been talking about.
Right, but that's the one that did surprise me with the timeline.
Really?
Because...
I had no expectations.
I mean, I really thought that this was going to be not so much a period movie, but I thought this was going to be like their adventures in Europe kind of movie. You know what I mean? Or show that happened between Infinity War and Endgame. Because again, it calls into a lot of questions. Like, we all know that Vision was destroyed in Endgame, so how is he back? Even if you build another Vision, he's not Vision without the stone. Like, how do you get the...
Well, then you get into the whole thing that Shuri was working on. And and they even mentioned it in Infinity War that you could manufacture... She could manufacture that.
Right. And, but did she have time? Like,
well, we don't know.
You don't know how far along... Right, we don't know. And that's the whole thing is we don't know. But obviously he's back and... Obviously, you know, in some form of himself, he may not necessarily have an Infinity Stone, but it looks like his consciousness and his memories and all that stuff will be intact. So, and I just love the name of that show.
WandaVision?
WandaVision, yeah. Because it's like, seems like an old HBO, an old cable network or something, you know. But I love that. I think that's an awesome title.
It sounds like something from the 70s to help with your rabbit ears.
Right.
Oh, I got WandaVision. It's so much clearer.
Yeah.
Then we get the one I got to imagine you're really looking forward to, because you called this in the fall, and that was Shang-Chi.
Yes.
And The Legend of the Ten Rings, due out in theaters February 12th, 2021.
So we get our Mandarin that we didn't get in Iron Man 3.
Yep.
So,
we get the
real one. I
think
this is going to be really... Right, we're going to get the real Mandarin. This is already... I don't know if you read this. I was reading this morning. This has already got controversy surrounding it. It's already being boycotted in China.
Why?
The Mandarin is viewed as a negative stereotype for the Chinese community. And they're already up in arms about this, so... I don't know what's going on with that. Again, could be just a clickbait headline that I read, but Mandarin is the son of Fu Manchu, which was created, you know, years ago when we used to do a lot of stereotyping of the yellow, you know, menace and things like that. And I guess it just it holds some negative stereotypes for the Chinese, so. There's a lot of people, from what I read anyway, this could be completely wrong.
There's like six people online putting out a bunch of posts.
Right, but supposedly there's already people complaining about this. I don't know. I think it looks good. You know, it's starring, Chinese actors. The writer is Chinese. I mean, I feel like it's going to be treated the way it should be treated. So I don't know why... you know, it's like, let's see it. Let's let it come out first, and then we can complain about
it
afterwards.
Yeah, I'm reading some of the people. It's Simu Liu, and then Awkwafina,
yeah.
I'm like, isn't that a water?
Yeah.
It's spelled differently.
Yeah, it's spelled differently.
A-W-K-W-A-F-A-I-N-A.
Yeah.
And Tony...
She's hot right now.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What do I know her from?
I don't know, but I think that Crazy Rich Asians, I think she's in Crazy Rich Asians or something. I'm not sure, but I know that she had some heat on her. I've heard her name several times.
So the Mandarin's bad, but Crazy Rich Asians is okay.
Yeah, I guess so.
Got it. I'm writing that one down.
Yeah.
Okay. moving on. Falcon and the Winter Soldier, due out in fall of 2020 on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
And did you see Daniel Brühl's going to be in it?
I did.
Pretty cool.
As Baron Zemo with the mask, so that's awesome. I like the fact that they've confirmed that Sam is going to be wearing the Captain America outfit.
Yes.
So that's pretty cool. So this should be good too.
It's, from what I remember from before, it was slated for 6 episodes. I think
that's what we said.
Yeah, you and I were like, I wish it was more, but again, that's one of the earlier ones, so that's literally a year away. Can you think of the order? I wish I had put these in order, but I was just so much information coming fast and furious. So we get Black Widow and then this.
Yeah.
I can't.
I had it. Yeah, I had a post up on my Facebook page. I don't have it handy right now, but it actually did have it in chronological order. Yeah. I'd have to see if I can.
And then the Eternals comes out in November of 2020. Yeah. So
that to me, I think, is the biggest risk in this whole Phase 4.
Really?
I think so.
I don't see that.
Like, I think everything else is fairly, you know, bankable. You know, Blade, Doctor Strange, even Black Widow. The Eternals is not a well-known comic property, and I know, you know, the first thing you'll go to is Guardians of the Galaxy, but I don't know. I'm sure it's going to make all the money, don't get me wrong, but I think if I had to look at the entire slate of what they're putting out, this is the biggest question mark for me. These are not really... It's kind of like over at DC with the New Gods. I don't know that they're just that bankable. The characters that bankable, you know what I mean?
It's not...
Nobody knows them at all. Nobody knows who any of these characters are. I've never read The Eternals. I have no idea who any of these characters are. I don't think I've ever read one comic book with The Eternals in it. I don't know what they are, who they are, anything.
Right. My ignorance is matched this time.
Right. Yeah, I literally know nothing about them. So
that's where they can shine, because where you get into trouble and where you get all the is when people have expectations. Nobody's going to have any expectations for this. So I think if they can make it's not about the characters and what they could be, and what we know of them. It's what kind of movie are they going to make?
Right. And again, they're going to make a good movie. It's Marvel. You know, I mean, that's not that... I'm not saying there's a question there. I'm just saying in any lineup that you look at, there's always something that's going to be the question.
Right.
It's just the nature of any lineup. To me, this is the biggest one. Like, this is the one that they're going to really have to go out of their way to sell, I think.
Yeah. So what did Chloe Zhao, or Zoe, or however, she's the one, I'm guessing it's a she, Chloe.
I would imagine.
She's directing it.
Right.
And we usually don't get into this stuff. She directed The Rider. I don't know.
I'm not familiar with
I don't see
her work, I guess.
Daughters. I don't see a lot of stuff that I would know. But yeah, it's these directors, everybody making these movies, they don't want to be the one to drop the ball.
And I'm not saying they will. Everybody's going to put their best foot forward. But you can say that about every single, like, even movies that are not successful. The people that worked on them worked their hardest to make them good.
Right.
You know, nobody sets out to make a bad movie. So, here we go.
But
the timeline is, Black Widow and then Falcon Winter Soldier.
Right, then the Eternals.
Then we hop up to the Eternals. Then we go down to Shang-Chi
in February.
Then WandaVision, then Doctor Strange.
It's going to be here before you know it. It just stinks. We're less than a year away.
Right.
I'm kind of disappointed we get nothing on Disney Plus to start. I think we're going to do a lot. Yes. I think they're going to do a lot of Star Wars, which I think is weird.
Well,
with
but
Star
even
Wars
after the
Mandal,
all we know we're getting right away is the Mandalorian.
Right.
I mean, we know we're getting the Cassian Andor series, but we don't have a timeline on that either.
Right.
So at launch, all we might have is the Mandalorian, and you know, seven or eight weeks later, it's going
to
be done, and we don't have
so,
anything for a while.
Titans.
I would think. Yeah. If they do it weekly, it could also be a drop, you know, and
yeah,
which I don't think so, though. Because I think in the original announcement, they made mention that only the first episode of The Mandalorian would be ready like the first week. So I think it's going to be a weekly drop, but I don't expect it to be more than 8 or 10 episodes.
Yeah.
So by Christmas time, by January 1st, it's going to be done, and we don't have anything coming for a few months after that. So.
Yeah. Well,
it's going to be
Fall
2020. So basically a year.
That's what I mean.
After we won't have anything. So.
So after that, so getting away from that, we get to some comic book news breaking. Obviously this was coming out. A new era dawns for the X-Men with X-Men, Excalibur, Marauders, New Mutants, Fallen Angels, and X-Force comic series. And then find out.
Yeah, you just took the biggest announcement I had for the end.
Oh, you no, well, I'm just trying to keep everything together. So, go ahead.
Well, we were going to talk comics later, so why don't we just move on and
we'll talk about
that,
later then.
Yeah.
All right, so that's it for Marvel. Then we get into DC and DC Universe news.
Right.
DC Universe, Young Justice, for a fourth season.
Not a big. That's kind of a no-brainer. I think
we knew
that was going to happen.
Well, here's the thing. Yeah. What I liked about it was not that it's a no-brainer. I think it was kind of almost a relief, because as much as I love DC Universe, you just keep hearing how much trouble they're in, and everybody keeps saying, oh, they're falling apart and all this, and you read that, and it's like, you know, and I'm not an idiot. It's like, where there's smoke, there's fire. Maybe they're right. I don't know. Or maybe they're just negative people that want to see it fail. I don't know. But when you see stuff like this, you're like, well, it can't be going too far. You know, so that to me was encouraging, because I like, and they're coming out with some really good content. And what I think is funny is you'll see people online, I'm never paying for that. I'll wait for it to come out on Blu-ray. Okay. You could have DC Universe for the price of 2 Blu-rays for the year.
Exactly. Like, yeah.
What are you doing? It's not that much. What I don't even remember what it was. What is it, like $6 a month?
It was $75 for 15 months if you signed up during the beta test, which is cheap. Like, we're not going to get it that cheap for the second year. Well, it'll probably be $75 for 12 months, which is still a pretty good deal.
Yeah.
It's like $7 a month or something like that. So, but yeah, for the $75, if you buy two seasons of two shows on Blu-ray, you're going to spend $75.
And so, it's like, I don't know. But I think it's worth even if you did the monthly thing and you're doing $6-7 a month. I mean, come on, there is a lot of good content in there, and
there is,
and the news that, and I'll get to, that's one of my things at the when we wrap up all this stuff. Doom Patrol, another season in 2020.
Yeah, which I think they said was going to co-air on HBO Max and DC Universe.
Oh, I did not hear that part.
Unless I'm remembering wrong, but I think I read that. And that's interesting.
Yes.
That's very interesting, because in the one case you wonder why they would do that, but it still just calls into question what the real future of, you know, the separate streaming services is. You know what I mean?
Well,
I think that might be the first step in merging people over from one to the other. I don't know.
We talked about it.
That's such a giant mess. I don't know what's going on over there.
That's not our area of expertise. But we have.
Well, I don't know what is, but.
me neither. If you've seen my
It's not podcasting.
No, if you see my technical
so.
Skills on this side of the mic, no. But we have no idea what their packaging is going to be. Could say, you know, they could do a 20. We went over this, and I mean, we have so much stuff.
Right? No, I don't, and I don't want to hash it up again. I just thought that was really interesting. I'll have to go back and see if I can confirm that before the next episode. But I'm pretty sure I read that somewhere. And like I said, that's just interesting to me that they would choose to do that.
Of course, we'll be paying attention to it as it goes
But maybe
along.
That's a – again, that could be a cost thing. Maybe they're splitting costs between the services. And that would call into question. It's like, well, does that maybe breathe new life into Swamp Thing or
– I know.
You know,
I actually
I
like
know.
Swamp Thing better than Doom Patrol. And –
Me
and
too.
Swamp Thing is, I don't know. I think Swamp Thing.
And Swamp Thing just won some award for, like, one of the best streaming shows, and the damn thing's
you're
canceled.
You're killing my
so.
News here. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm
just
sorry.
Kidding. I have it, but I don't know if I would have said it as eloquently as you.
Yeah, I know, right? I'm so smooth.
Speaking of eloquently, for mature audiences, we have Harley Quinn. Did you see the trailer?
Yeah, it looks great.
That's
it looks
gonna
great.
Be a blast.
It is.
That's gonna be,
I can't wait for that. Honestly, it looks awesome.
Yeah, that's gonna be a lot of fun. I guess. Yeah. Did you see any of the news or the panels talking about it?
At
Comic-Con, they had panels talking about it, and the people,
right?
The people that made the show, they were like, I want to say there were three or four of them, and the guy moderating is asking questions, and they. One of the first questions, like, so what's one of the most exciting things? And the guy goes, oh man, all the F and F bombs. And he like he's saying it. And you're like, but before when they announce the panel, they're like, if you have little kids, you might want to leave the room.
Yeah.
So even the panel was just like, they just had a blast.
Yeah, it's definitely a not safe for work TV show.
Yeah. Oh yeah, not your
it's
work.
It's gonna be very R rated. I think it's going to be awesome. Kaley Cuoco sounds great as Harley Quinn.
They said on the
from all accounts, she's like really made the character her own, and
that's what they were saying on the panel. Is like she's done a lot of great things with her voice, and she's like you said, she's really made it her own, and it she's had a lot of fun with it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, she had big shoes to fill with Tara Strong, you know, played Harley for years on the animated series and did a great job. But she, you know, didn't make the mistake of trying to replicate what somebody else did, you know?
Yeah. No, that trailer looks, every time I see it, I start cracking up and you see different things.
Yeah. I have a little mini trailer. I have a playlist that plays on the TV at the store, and, I've got a little mini 1 minute cause I think that's all they could salvage. Yeah. That was safe for work out of that whole trailer.
Well, I've seen
it's like
it,
1 minute.
I've seen it beeped. I've seen it unedited. Yeah. I've seen it, you know. I love the one where she says something, but I think she just says the S word. I won't put another dollar in.
Yeah.
But then like Batman standing right there, he's like, no. But I just can't wait to see that.
Right. Cause it looks like we're going to get all the characters. Yeah. Like I think everybody's on the table.
Right.
You know,
and it looks like it's going to be like her just going bananas. And then like you'll get this.
Yeah.
Batman's the straight man. And it's
right.
It's
just stand
be there. Great.
Yeah.
All right. Titans season 2, September 6th.
Yeah.
So
that's earlier than we thought.
I cannot wait.
Yeah. I can't either. I wish it was September already.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's early. You know, we speculated October, so that's about a month earlier than we were hoping.
I was really
which
excited
is awesome.
To hear that. I was like, a month. I mean, that's what I mean. Like you said, you can't wait for September, but I'm like, it's right. It's like 4 weeks away. We're like,
I know, it's like, right.
And with the trailer and the posters, and I mean, you're just seeing everything and all the characters that are that we talked about in the past. What's her name's costume?
Donna
Troy,
Wonder Girl's
costume. Yep.
And, you know, like I said, definitely Crypto and all that stuff. Like I said, we're getting Jericho,
Deathstroke. Yep.
Deathstroke. It's going to be a great season. It really is. I can't wait. I think it's going to be great. I really hope we see Nightwing by the end of it. Because what I don't want is him just running around as Dick Grayson for 10 episodes. But
well, have
either
have they
way
said
it's
how many
good,
episodes
you know? No, they haven't, but would we get 12 or 11 last time around? Whatever they announced, subtract
one or two,
and that's what
or
we'll
maybe
get.
Add four yeah. because they screwed us out of right. a couple before. I don't know. Because yeah. remember that conversation?
Oh, I do. Believe me. My ears are still bleeding.
I know. Well, because all the different platforms had different definitions. It's like it was supposed to be 13. It's ending at 11. It did this. It did that. One IMDb still had it at 12. I don't know. Yeah. So, what did they say? Oh, the spotlight panel, Tom King, big things for the bat and the cat reuniting. That
yeah.
If you've seen it on Twitter, that, you know, they were talking about that. That's exciting.
Well, yeah, that image he released looks great.
What's that?
Yeah. The image he put out from Clayman.
Yeah,
Clayman.
That's what I'm looking at right
looks
now.
Awesome.
Yeah. That looks really good. Batman Beyond getting a Blu-ray box set, getting, fully restored.
It's the 20th anniversary of Batman Beyond. I'm actually looking forward to that because that's one that I didn't watch a lot of. I mean, I've seen several episodes, but I didn't see them all. That was at a time when I was not really watching a lot of stuff like that. So I would like to be able to sit down and watch it all.
I watch it right now. Obviously, it's on DC Universe. It's every night.
Yeah.
I watch the DC Daily. And then
that's true. I guess I could be doing it right
now. Yeah, and I'll be interested to see how much better it looks on the remastered version, because they're getting the remastered version. Oh, I had it somewhere in here. I have it somewhere in here, but it's coming out fairly soon on DC Universe as well. So, if you get it, and again, it's like these box sets and the remaster. I own,
Yeah, it's probably $100.
Yeah.
And you can get a whole year's worth of DC Universe.
I have the animated series, Batman the Animated Series, but it's remastered. The entire thing is on DC Universe. And it's like, I'm not trying to not sell the book, the Blu-rays, but
no, because you still get the sound, you get some better stuff out of the Blu-rays, but for the average viewer, they're not going to know the difference anyways. Yeah. And it's right there in the cost anyways. Might as well.
Not
just,
that we're trying to sell it. DC Universe, but it's. I mean,
no,
we did enough of that over
that
the
was,
fall.
Right. Well, and the only thing that was a little disappointing from DC Universe is there was no real talk of Stargirl.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the state of that show is anymore. I mean, they've still got casting, and I mean, as far as I know, they're still working on it. But I guess how far away are they that they couldn't even talk about it this year at Comic-Con?
Yeah,
you know, Marvel's talking about stuff from 2021, and yet we can't get an announcement for Stargirl. So it calls into question a little bit.
Well,
what's going on?
I
got
to imagine maybe they just. I don't think there is. DC, I heard this the week or two before Comic-Con that they weren't going to be heavy into Comic-Con this year.
No, so, no, we already knew that, but they did have a DC Universe panel.
Yes,
so
of course, because that's part of their DC Universe, the DC Daily team needed to be there. You know, and it's like that's, and again, I'll get to a little bit more of that in a minute, but it's Titans is dropping in a month. Doom Patrol's coming next year. What's going to be in the middle? There's going to be something popping in. You know what I mean?
Right, because obviously it's not Swamp Thing.
Right,
so.
And so something's going to come in because Titans is going to take us to almost to the end of the year, and something else will come up. So they got to keep people interested. It's just maybe they just don't know what yet, or they wanted to leave it open. You know, and then pop that news out in a month or so. This one here I was really excited for because I remember back in April I was looking for as much content as I could find was History of Shazam. It's a documentary type movie, and it's actually coming to DC Universe on August 9th.
That was one of the ones that was a surprise for me. I didn't know anything about that.
I didn't either.
I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's going to be a fun one because, like I said, back in April, it's like I remember Shazam from when I was a kid. I knew the history. I knew Captain Marvel. I knew you and I had talked about that. It was a lot of fun with the movie coming out, and we got to reminisce. But then you start reading more and more, and you just wanted more content. And right. for this to be coming out now, I think is, you know, that's going to be a lot of fun. It's, I don't know how long it's going to be, but I'm sure you and I will probably.
No, and I don't know how, I don't know how deep into the history it's going to go, because, you know, obviously there's a complicated history.
Yeah.
With the character in DC and Fawcett Comics. So I don't know if it's really a documentary of, like, the history of the character, or if it's going to be more like the DC stories. I don't know exactly what it's going to be, but...
Yeah, it can't be too in-depth. They didn't contact us on our podcast about it, so...
I know.
They didn't ask for any clips or anything, so...
Right.
I don't know. Oh, well. So, DC Universe tweeted out, we are... I think this is what you were talking about earlier. We are so proud to announce that... DCU Swamp Thing and DC and Doom Patrol DCU are at Saturn Awards 1 nominees for Best Streaming Superhero Television Series. Hashtag Saturn Awards.
Yes, that is what I was talking about.
So,
right.
I think that's great, and this is the bright side, but I'm also kind of skeptical when I see Best Streaming Superhero Television Series. So,
yeah.
We are the best podcast named The Bright Side Chat.
Right.
So, I don't know. I don't know what that is. Who are they up against? I think themselves.
Well, they'd be up against all of the Netflix shows.
You think?
Yeah, because they're streaming. They're streaming superhero shows. It would be up against Titans and, you know, and obviously Doom Patrol and Swamp Thing, Umbrella Academy. Maybe. I mean, there's other stuff out there it could be up against.
I don't know why. I always look at, like, the Netflix ones where they just drop. It's almost like you don't consider them a television series because they just drop all at once. And
yeah,
this one
but
is
they
a
are.
Week to. All of these here were week to week.
Right. Well, and you had, you have The Runaways on Hulu. You have Cloak and Dagger on Freeform. So, I mean, there are some other ones out there. I am a little bit more skeptical when I see Doom Patrol ahead of Titans.
Well, I'm wondering if because those came out this year. Titans was last year.
Yeah, maybe.
That's the first thing I thought of as well. And Titans was last year. These all came out this year. In 2019. So
that could be.
That's got to be what it is, because I think Titans is by far and away the best of all of them. But and that's probably why they beat out. I mean, who are they competing against? Because Daredevil was done.
Well, you had
Jessica Jones was this
season
year.
And Punisher was this year.
So I mean, just you and I. I mean, usually we don't compare cross platform like that. Right. Where would you put them? How would you rank, like, Swamp Thing, Doom Patrol?
I put Swamp Thing up there pretty high.
Yes.
I put Doom Patrol very low. I put Doom Patrol behind all of them almost.
I have Doom Patrol last. I would have, here's the funny thing. Story, I have Jessica Jones first. Production, I have Swamp Thing first. Swamp Thing is, you know, episode to episode, I think is more of a major feature film.
It is, but it's a little unfair to judge the story 100% because we don't have the whole story
correct.
For Swamp Thing.
Right.
So, we only get two more.
And,
but...
Yeah, and it's a shorter story,
three more,
too. But I really like Jessica Jones this year, but Jessica Jones is more of a drama. But they're that close. I don't know which one I would give. If I had to pick, I might pick Swamp Thing. If I had to, because I really like... It's a good story, and it's, like I said, it's almost like everyone is, like, a major motion. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And then, Doom Patrol last, and I got, I would put Punisher second to last. So, out of those four. All right. Batman Hush, which we talked about earlier, that's already out. I've seen it. I can't wait to talk about it soon. Batman Hush will be streaming on DC Universe starting on August 13th.
Yeah.
Let's see what we got. Here's an odd one. Todd McFarlane proclaimed that if there are more delays with the Spawn movie, he'll use Kickstarter to get it made.
Yeah,
he's talking about that for a long time. He's dying to get that movie made. And then we have coming in 2020, Superman Red Son animated movie.
Yep. Awesome. And great storyline.
Yep. DC announces Superman Man of Tomorrow. I don't have a date on that one.
I don't think they put one out yet for
and
that.
And we also have Justice League Dark Apocalypse War coming.
Yeah. Also probably going to be great.
Yes. And then what else do we have? Oh, okay. Tom Welling, Linda Carter, Burt Ward in Crisis on Infinite Earths.
I mean, that's the coolest thing out of San Diego Comic-Con, I think. That and getting Brandon Routh as the Kingdom Come Superman.
Well,
like, get every single person that's ever been a superhero and get them back into Crisis. I think that's
awesome.
But
what I think is funny is the two, and I should have said Brandon Routh, because he and Linda Carter are already in the CW.
Yeah, they
but
are.
But this is what I was going to say is this is where you really get into that Infinite Earths. Because, you know, he's already, Adam? And and she's
Ray Palmer.
And she's the president, or was the president, and she was an alien on Supergirl.
Right.
Linda Carter.
But she's not Diana Prince president, and, you know, he's not Clark Kent.
Exactly,
Adam,
but on another Earth, those faces, and that you know they're going to play that up. You know that, especially Brandon Routh, he's going to look at himself. Those two characters are going to stand next to each other. You have to do that.
Right.
And then, like you said, then you have Burt Ward, Tom Welling. You've got how many Supermen are going to show up? And
Well, Tyler Hoechlin's coming back to play Superman. Yep. They are going to square off together, from what I read, you know, him and Brandon Routh, which is awesome.
And Tom Welling.
Right, and Tom Welling.
It's...
I don't know. Like I said, I mean, are we finally going to see Tom Welling in the Superman suit? Because we never saw that in Smallville. And we got a CGI scene, you know, at the very tail end of the show.
Right.
But we never saw him really in suited up as Superman. No. So, I don't know. I can't be more excited for that. Like, I already was excited, but now it's like, that's the ultimate fan service. I think that's fantastic that they're doing that. So,
yeah, that whole,
I mean, really,
this fall on CW is going to be a blast.
I mean, even though, again, Dean Cain and Helen Slater are in the CW verse too, but how cool would it be to see Dean Cain in the Superman suit too?
Yeah.
Bring Terry Hatcher back as Lois Lane. Oh my God, that would be awesome.
Those are just the
get Helen Slater suited up as Supergirl and I mean,
it's Gail Gadot drops in.
I'd have to go downstairs and get a box of tissues. I don't know, but
all right.
I know. I had to work it in somewhere because I know how much it bothers you.
Oh God.
So, I don't know, but I think that's great. Like, that was like probably my favorite thing out of Comic-Con is just the fact that they're doing all.
Yeah,
of that,
the Arrow trailer, Flash, everything that's going to go on this fall. And obviously this is building up to, and we'll speculate all fall, how they're going to end Arrow. We have 10 episodes
and those are the three. I haven't seen any of those trailers. I didn't watch any of the CW trailers.
Oh, got to see them.
So I haven't seen those, but, you know, I mean, we watch all those shows anyway.
Right.
So looking forward to all of them. Over on Legends, you've got Sarah Lance is supposed to get some kind of superpowers this year. They said so. There's gonna be a lot of good things happening on CW.
Did you see? I thought it was funny. Did you see one of the things that I think it was an Entertainment Weekly? They did a whole write up on the ending of Arrow, and they had all the different characters from different shows, the lead characters. So you had what's her name, Sarah Lance. You had Barry. Yeah. You had they all had things to say, and one of the things that she said was she was like, well, you know, it's sad to see them go, but there's really not anybody left from when I was over there. Everybody's died.
Right.
She's like, my whole family's gone. And it's
Dad's gone. Well, Laurel's still around. She's just a different person.
Yeah.
But
she had come back. But it's like most of the cast from when she was there is gone.
And Laurel, I thought Laurel was not coming back this season.
Yeah.
But then she was out there with a new costume for this season. So I guess she is coming back after all.
I'm wondering.
Because they had said at the end of last year that both, you know, Felicity and Laurel Lance were going to be gone. But Katie Cassidy was putting out pictures of her new costume. So they must have changed that somehow and got her to come back. So
nobody's ever gone.
Well, no, but I just think that's cool. Because, again, we talked about it with Felicity leaving. You know, you got 10 episodes left after 8 years. It's like you can't stick it out for another half a year.
It's,
you know. Obviously, she's not working on anything else because I haven't seen a new show announced for Felicity. So, I think you could have made it happen.
So that's the last thing I have. What do you got?
The only other thing I had, and this didn't come out of Comic-Con, it's actually something I read today, and this is wild speculation, but
it's
the rumor is that J.J. Abrams is working on a Superman and Green Lantern movie for the DCEU.
Where did you hear that?
I read it on some article today online.
That's awesome.
Again, wild speculation, but you know, we do know that Warner Brothers just signed a huge $500 million deal with Bad Robot and J.J.
Yes.
Abrams. It makes sense that they were eyeing him for, you know, the DCEU.
Yep.
So, you know, I would imagine once he's done with Star Wars and, you know, things start to come into place over at Warner Brothers, we'll hear more about this. But I don't know. I'm very excited by the thought of that. I don't know if any of that is actually true or not. I mean, there's been a rumored Green Lantern movie in the works for a long time. You know, on again, off again, Superman rumors.
Yeah.
So, I think it probably cements the idea that Henry Cavill doesn't come back, because I would imagine would be a new take on Superman if J.J. took it over. But who knows?
Yep. That would be big.
It depends on how The Witcher does over there on Netflix, which looks awesome.
Yes.
I don't know if you saw the trailer
for
that, but that looks
great. That looks really good.
That looks really good.
Yep.
So before we get into the comic book aspect of it, you left out my absolute favorite trailer from Comic-Con, and that was Picard. I don't know if you got a chance to see that.
Yes.
Again, I am so excited.
I know you are. I was waiting. I left that for you on purpose because you're the Star Trek fan. I'm not as big a Star Trek fan.
I mean,
I'll see it.
I mean, I was already looking forward to Picard's show coming back, but throwing in Brent Spiner and Jeri Ryan and Jonathan Frakes and Marina Sirtis and basically bringing all – we don't know how long they're going to be back for or how many episodes they're going to be in, but just the fact that those guys are all showing up again will give CBS All Access my money for a while, because I'll have to watch those shows. I think it looks really good. It's a little bit different from the Star Trek that we're familiar with, the way the series looks like it's going to shape up. But I don't know. It looks great to me. I was like a kid again when I saw Data on there, even though he was like just a head in the drawer.
I was never a Star Trek fan. I liked the movies. I saw the like back in the 80s, 70s and 80s, watched the movies every time they showed up on HBO. You know, Wrath of Khan, loved all that stuff, but was never into the show. And that was the one, you know, Marvel, DC, Star Trek, Star Wars. I was always like, I felt like if I really liked a Star Trek, I felt like I was like, you know, cheating on Star Wars.
Right.
And it was weird. It's like, you know, I liked Coke, not Pepsi. I was loyal like that. But I was never loyal to Marvel /DC. I always followed both. Liked one more than the other, but when I read Batman, I didn't feel like I was cheating on Marvel.
Well, for me, it would have been the opposite,
right?
Because I was into Star Trek well before Star Wars.
Really?
I mean, I remember watching Star Trek reruns as a little kid.
See, I liked Battlestar Galactica,
even to the point where
Space 1999.
I remember that too, but I remember explicitly the day I saw Star Wars in 1977. My father asked us what movie we wanted to go see, and it was a choice between King Kong or Star Wars. And I said, I don't know what Star Wars. I don't know anything about that. He says, well, it's just like Star Trek. And I said, well, let's go see that. because I loved Star Trek as a kid. So, I mean, ultimately, over the course of my life, I have been a bigger fan of Star Wars. But I was a Trekkie before I was into Star Wars.
See, I was into Star Wars first.
Even to the point where when Next Generation came out, I actively avoided it for several years because I was like, well, this isn't Star Trek.
Right.
You know, this is something completely different. And then I remember, again, now to throw out a bunch of things that nobody will ever know about except for me and you, but I remember going to visit Matt and Scott up at UMass one weekend. And while we were sitting there getting ready to do something, Next Generation was on TV. So we drank some beers and watched Next Generation. And then I was like, I need to watch all of this.
Yeah.
And I started going back and getting caught up. And then I watched it from then on out. But, I love Star Trek, The Next Generation. So,
well, I'll definitely see Picard, that'll be fun. But that'll be fun for us to watch because we'll do a show on it where your perspective and my perspective, it'll be a good time. But
well, and the other thing, too, that I really liked about it, I don't know if you got a chance to hear any of Patrick Stewart's comments when they did the panel on it. He was very, very emotional about the whole thing, which I just think he's a great, actor and a great guy. But you could tell that he has such a fondness for that show, and I think it's just going to show through in the performance.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I really think it's going to be great. I mean, not that he ever turns in a bad performance anyways, because he's great, but I think he has a genuine love for, Picard and for Star Trek, and I think it's going to be really good, so.
Yep.
So I think that was most of the, as far as the TV and film part of San Diego Comic-Con.
So, my one last thing on Comic-Con, and it has nothing to do with what broke at Comic-Con. We've been over that as much as we could figure out. Next year, with Disney Plus there and DC Universe doing their DC Daily, because Disney Plus is going to have some presence.
Marvel Daily or something.
So they'll have like their Marvel Daily show or whatever. So for us that don't get to go, or next year's Comic-Con, I think it's going to be a blast from our homes. So if you have DC Daily, you have DC Universe, and you have, Disney Plus, imagine the exposure will be, you'll probably unprecedented exposure to Comic-Con from your home.
Well, you could almost see most of this year's already on YouTube.
Right.
A lot of it's out there now, and I think you're right. I think next year, in every year going forward, it just gets more.
Can you imagine how big Comic-Con's going to get because of that? You know what I mean? It's like, DC Daily is tiny compared to what Disney Plus is going to be. You know, and just the reach. And I think they're growing into their own, talking about DC Daily and DC Universe. But I think next year, the competition between the two, because, the little guy comes along like a DC Daily, it's going to push the Disney Plus. You see it in other platforms, too. Little guy shows up and makes the big guy do something that they hadn't been used to doing. Or they just want to compete and stay relevant with it. I think it's going to be great. We're only going to benefit from it. I'm really looking forward to that. It's, the exposure that we haven't had yet. So, all right. Anything else?
I mean, and then, if they're lucky, they'll have us there doing our own commentary.
I would love to be there.
I mean, I think San Diego Comic-Con should shoot for the stars at this point and try to get the best out there.
The best and the
doing
brightest.
News and commentary. Exactly.
See what I did there?
If you're a listener, it's hashtag SDCC2020 Brightside.
Yeah.
let's get that going.
Hashtag send us, please.
I want to see that. I want to see that trending on Twitter by Friday afternoon. So,
I don't think that's going to happen.
I
you got a cardboard box?
I'm shooting for the stars too. Yeah. So,
all right, we ready? This is a long one.
We're not done yet because I've got comic book news from Comic-Con.
Oh, okay. I thought you said you were done with that. Okay, movie. All right, going on.
No, we're moving on. So, comic book news is surprisingly hard to come by out of San Diego Comic-Con.
I know because I asked you what we had.
Yeah, I spent quite a long time on the interwebs today trying to dig up some of this news, and I couldn't come up with too many stories. But there are a few. So, like you alluded to earlier, you know, the House of X, Powers of X, the Dawn of X books are coming. So we know that when House of X and Powers of Ten are going to run for 12 weeks starting today. And then when they end, there's a whole new series of books that are being launched. So the flagship X-Men number one is going to be written by Jonathan Hickman, who's doing the House of X storyline. And then he's also going to write New Mutants. So I would imagine those two to be the flagship X titles. Yep. But they also announced Excalibur, Marauders, Fallen Angels, and X-Force. So once this is done, and we'll touch on House of X a little bit later, and I think we're going to plan to talk about it a lot more in a week or two. But if you got a chance to read it today, the groundwork is set for some pretty great stuff for the X-Men going forward. So I think that Jonathan Hickman has come out and said he has a 3-year plan for, you know, the Dawn of X, and, you know, it could go even longer than that. But there's a lot of good stuff for the X-Men coming down the line. So today is the day to hop on board and get ready for that.
Yep.
So the next announcement came from Image Comics, and this is creator-owned title called Undiscovered Country. This is Scott Snyder, Charles Soule, and Giuseppe Comancoli. So Scott Snyder and Charles Soule are both writers. I mean, if you follow comics at all, you know who both of those guys are. Giuseppe Comancoli has done a lot of Spider-Man and some other work. I put up a teaser for this project a couple of weeks ago on Twitter because they just basically put out an image with the names, and we didn't really know what it was going to be. This seems like it's going to be a great series, and something to look forward to. Marvel Comics is teasing a return to its 2099 timeline. So for those that have been paying attention, 2019 marks the 80th anniversary of Marvel. 80 plus 2019 equals 2099. So I think that's pretty cool. So the only name that's really attached to that right now is Nick Spencer. He's writing currently The Amazing Spider-Man. But at the end of one of the Spider books last week was a tease for Spider-Man 2099. So, again, I think that's great. I really like that. I like that universe, and I like some of those characters. So I don't know how many of the character role. Because if you looked at 2099, when Marvel did it years ago, there was a bunch of stuff. There was Punisher 2099, yeah. Hulk 2099, Spider-Man. The only one that's really stuck around is Spider-Man. But I would imagine that they're going to go back and try to resurrect, you know, some of these other characters too. So that's something that seems really cool. Also, Marvel announced a new Spider-Verse series to coincide with the, you know, Into the Spider-Verse movie. This is a 6-issue miniseries that's coming. It's going to be written by Jed McKay and a bunch of artists attached to it. So, again, if you like that world of Spider-Verse, this is going to be something pretty good. And last but not least, Lucasfilm has announced The Rise of Kylo Ren. This is a 4-issue comic series, also written by Charles Soule. He did Darth Vader and Poe Dameron, both of those series for Marvel. So he's intimately acquainted with the Star Wars universe. And I think that's, you know, again, basically how did the son of, you know, Han Solo and Princess Leia become, you know, a Sith Lord or whatever he's calling himself these days. This is the story that's going to tell us how he got there. So, another one that looks pretty good. And that's really it. Like I said, I'm sure there was other news out there. I couldn't find anything DC related at all. I know DC did talk at Comic-Con about a lot of the reprint stuff they have coming along with the facsimile editions and things like that. But I didn't see any announcements for new series. They did announce a new Birds of Prey series. This didn't come from Comic-Con, but That is something that DC has coming, but other news from them was pretty hard to come by. So that's really it.
That's all you got?
That's all I got. That's all I could find. Cool. It took me an hour to find that.
Yeah, it's, so. I didn't, and that's why I asked you if you knew anything, because I hadn't seen any big reports coming out. It seems like all they're doing is the movie stuff. That's the big news for the general public. That's the big splash.
Yeah.
But the comic book stuff seems a little bit harder to come by when I think, you know, 20, 30 years ago it was the other way around, obviously.
Yeah, well, it is called Comic-Con.
Right.
And we had to struggle pretty hard to find four little tidbits of comic book news. So.
Right.
They should maybe think about calling it something else next year.
Well, and that's a subject for another day, but that's kind of what's happened to Comic-Cons. It's, you know.
Yeah, it should be pop culture, San Diego Pop Culture Con or something.
Right.
But anyways, so, I digress.
Exactly. Oh, we really didn't have much to talk about tonight, so.
No. I mean, we still got more stuff to go, and we're not even halfway done yet.
I think we are. No, for this one, anyways. All right, you ready to get into comic books for this week? All right, so what am I spending my money on this week?
All right, so Speculator Corner for this week starts with DC, Batgirl issue 37. This, which I guess I could have confirmed the rumor if I would have read it today, but I didn't get a chance. But the rumor is that there's an appearance of the new Oracle in this issue. So I didn't really have people necessarily coming in looking for it today. But if this turns out to be the case, you know, this would be one to watch, and there could be some demand on this going forward, depending on what happens with the character. But, you know, we all know how any first appearance,
you know,
can spike or take off at any given time down the line. So it might be one to watch. From Marvel, we have Guardians of the Galaxy number 7. This issue starts, if you could see my quote, my air quotes, the death of Rocket Raccoon.
Yep.
So, you know, we all know how death works in comic books, and, you know, whether this
actually
matter or not. Yeah. But this one is seeing some heat. Right now, there's no cover price copies up on eBay. Most of the active listings are $15 and up. At the time we looked, we didn't see anything that actually had sold in that range, but that's the asking price for this book on eBay. And I did sell out of this today, too, so I did have people coming in to pick it up. So again, this is a ongoing storyline. We'll have to see where this goes by the end. Spoiler alert, though, I wouldn't expect Rocket to be dead or stay dead for very long.
Like Daredevil,
yeah. basically just long enough to put a 4-issue miniseries out there and come right back. All right, so also from Marvel, we have Marvel Comics Presents issue number 6. This is the second printing of this, and this was the first appearance of Wolverine's daughter that came out a few weeks ago. The main cover on this is basically nothing, because speculators don't care about second prints, but the 1-in-25 variant for the second print selling for about $150. Again, just goes to show everything that's wrong with the comic book market today, and not necessarily what's right with it. But the fact that we have 1-in-25 variants on second prints out there, when Marvel could have done all this in first prints if they would have just told us what was going on in the first place.
Right.
I'll leave it at that. But if you could come across the 1-in-25 variant, it's going for big bucks. And then one I didn't have on my list, I didn't actually find out about this one till late in the day. The Magnificent Miss Marvel issue number 5 is apparently sold out and selling for $20 on eBay. The cover of it depicts her in her new costume. This is a subs plus one book for me, which means I order for subscribers and one copy for the shelf, and that's it. It's not a big seller for me or for most stores. This one's going to be a little bit difficult to find, I think. Like I said, if you can get a hold of it, it's selling steadily for $20 on eBay, and they are selling at that price.
What was it? Magnificent Miss Marvel?
Magnificent Miss Marvel, issue number 5. And that's it for Speculator Roundup.
All right, let's move into back issue bonus.
All right, so back issue bonus from 2014. We have Thor number one.
First
appearance of Jane Foster as Thor. Now, technically, there is a what if number 10 that came out years before. A what if Jane Foster had become Thor?
I was going to ask that because those things don't count, right?
Right, that doesn't necessarily count, and
because it's not canon. Is that why? Because
it's not canon, and she did. It wasn't actually her as. I mean, again, it's just a what if.
Right.
It's
an imagination.
Right. I mean, people are still looking for it. I had calls today. People looking for it. But knowing that the movie is going to be based in the Jason Aaron run, this starts off with this issue right here. The first issue is selling for easily $40. There's variants out there. This, like I said, came out in 2014. I had a full set. This was an 8-issue run. I sold it yesterday for $100. Couldn't get $30 for it 2 weeks ago. So this is definitely going to be in demand. With the movie 2 years away, I think now's the time you're going to pay the highest prices for it. If this is something you want, I think you could wait it out a little bit.
It'll drop again.
Because and I think it'll drop again between now and the next 2 years. But then it will definitely spike again as the movie gets closer. So I think you might have a little bit of a window in maybe six months or so. Yeah. Also keep in mind, there was like 150,000 copies of this printed. It wasn't a low print run. So they're out there. But, you know, obviously the hype is at its highest right now because we just found out about it a couple days ago. I think if you wait it out, I don't usually say that because I usually tell you to, you know, go out and grab it. But this one may have it may have a wait.
Yeah.
And it may have a dip in between. There's also Thor, God of Thunder, number 25, features a cameo of her in that book selling for about $25. So it's definitely one for the long – I mean, this is a long spec, but it's once that movie hits, it's never going to go down again. So,
I think
it's going to stay hot.
That's so. I agree. I think it's one of those where you wait. I would wait.
I think you can – like I said, I really think you can wait this one out. And but it will come back. It's definitely going to rise again. So, all right. From 2018, this is a pretty recent book. Exiles number 1 and 2.
Yeah,
this is the cover appearance and first appearance of the Valkyrie that's inspired by Tessa Thompson from the movies. Both of these are selling for about $15. The biggest book here also is from Exiles number 9. There's a 1 in 25 variant, which has a cover, you know, more cover art, and that's selling for about $100. So these are some that you may be able to still find for cover price in a lot of stores, because, you know, again, they were cover price books a week ago. So I think, you know, you may still be able to grab them. Moving down to DC from 1987, we have Wonder Woman issue number 7. This is the first Barbara Minerva Cheetah. So Cheetah, you know, has been portrayed as two different characters over the years because Cheetah goes back, you know, back into the 40s and 50s, But Barbara Minerva is the version that we're going to see in the Wonder Woman 84 movie, and this is her first appearance. So this book is on the rise. Raw copies are selling for about $60. Graded, high-grade copies are closing in on $300 now. Again, another one that's I think the time to grab this cheap has passed. This movie's, you know, getting close enough.
Yeah.
This book's not really going to drop again in price. So I think if you can find one anywhere in the $50 to $60 range, I'd be smart to pick
it up. Yeah, I don't think it'll drop, but I think it'll go up as the movie gets closer.
Well, yes, it's definitely going to continue to rise.
Yeah.
But like we talked about with Thor, where we might have a dip. I think the dip for this one's already passed.
Yep.
Yeah. And then last but not least, from just 3 months ago, we have Excellence issue number 1. I actually talked about this as a recommended reading when it came out.
Yep.
This was just announced as being optioned by Amazon. It's only going for about $10 right now, but I think I even talked about this. I didn't talk about it being optioned at the time because I didn't know, but I think I remember saying that it would make a good TV show.
Yes.
The premise of it was pretty good. Now, this is one that I liked the number one, and I haven't gone back and read two or three yet. I definitely need to go back and read, but this would be a good show, and I think if it actually gets picked up and goes forward, I would expect the price to rise on this. It is sold out at Diamond. I had somebody looking for one today, and I know I can't get any more. So whatever's out there is out there on that. And that's it for back issue bonus.
All right. Now, final order cutoff for Monday.
All right. So for Monday, from DC, we have the next line of the Year of the Villain cardstock variant covers. We have Aquaman issue 51, Josh Middleton. Batman 77 by Clayton Crane. Justice League 30, Jay Anacleto, and Nightwing 63 by Warren Lau. I like the Nightwing. If I had to pick one out of the bunch, I think the Nightwing is the best one here. Once again, I know I say it every week, but all of these books have their cover images up on our Facebook page and Twitter. There were no new series on FOC from DC.
All right.
Moving down to IDW, we have Magic the Gathering, Chandra Trials of Alara. This is a four-issue miniseries. IDW just finished a Chandra Magic the Gathering series. I think it just wrapped up, so I imagine this is the sequel to that. You know, if you like Magic, I play Magic. I like the game. I liked the series. I thought it was pretty good. I like getting the backstory for the characters that we see in the game, so... if you're into that, it should be a pretty fun read. And that's it for IDW. Moving into Image, we have a new series called Pretty Violent. There's two covers available for that. That's it for Image.
All right.
Moving on down to Marvel, we have two variant covers. We have Daredevil number 10. This is the Bring on the Bad Guys variant cover. Once again, they like to test my... ability to speak. The artist on this is Jung Jin Young, I think.
Jung or Young? It could be a Jung Jin Young.
Jung Jin Young. Good looking cover, though, either way. And Spider-Man City at War number 6 by Tim Sang. Also a really good looking cover. A lot of other variants from Marvel, but most of them didn't have images attached. Two new series. We have, well, I mean, I can't really even say this is a new series. It's just the next in the Absolute Carnage
yep.
miniseries. Absolute Carnage of miniseries. This is Carnage versus Deadpool, issue number 1 of 3. There are multiple covers for this. And then Ghost Spider number 1. So I think Spider-Gwen, a.k.a. Ghost Spider, made it to 12 issues, so it's time to reboot. And we're doing that with Ghost Spider number 1. I think it's the same team. I don't know why this is rebooting. I think maybe they're just trying to rebrand it and get the Spider-Gwen completely off the title.
Yeah.
And just, you know, just have it named as the character Ghost Spider. It's the only reason why I can see to change it,
because
right. nothing's any different from the series. If you like the Spider-Gwen series that just finished... this is exactly the same, but there's a ton of covers available for it. So, and that's it from Marvel. From Dynamite, it's not new, but we have Vampirella issue number 2. You know, again, 2,500 or so variant
yeah,
covers for
it's
that.
It's anything like number 1.
Yeah, it's just like number 1. The main cover is Art Germ cover, and I think that's my favorite out of all of them, so that should be the easiest one to find, because most stores will get at least that one.
Right.
But there are a whole bunch of other covers, so I'd take a look at that. If you like number 1, and DJ and I both liked it,
yeah.
You know, I am looking forward to number 2. And then last but not least, we have from Zenoscope Comics, Van Helsing vs. Dracula's Daughter, issue number 1. This is going to be a 5-issue miniseries. And like any Zenoscope, there's about 5 cover options for this. All of them are open to order, so you should be able to get whichever one you want. And that's it for Final Order Cutoff.
All right, and we'll wrap up tonight with our recommended reading. You want to go first with your first one there? And then we both have the second one.
Okay, I wasn't sure if we both were going to do the second one or not.
Yeah, we might
as well. Okay, yeah. First one is from IDW Comics. We have Star Pig, issue number one. This is a four-issue miniseries written by Delilah Dawson. Art by Francesco Gaston. Cover art by Sarah Richard. So this was one that when I saw the title of, I thought was just going to be the weirdest comic ever. And it is, but I liked it a lot more than I expected to like it.
I love the way you put that. It's the weirdest comic ever, and it is, ever.
calm. Maybe not ever, but it's pretty out there. This was really pretty interesting. It was not at all what I expected it to be. You know, for some reason, when I hear Star Pig, instantly Miss Piggy popped into my mind, and I was thinking of pigs in space, kind of thing. And that's not what this is about at all. You know, not to get too far into the story, because I get accused sometimes of giving away too much of the plot of comics. You know, it revolves around some teenage, high school age kids that are, we're in the time where field trips take place in space, instead of just going to different places.
That's where I sent my kids.
So they're, it's basically a space bus full of teenagers that, run into some trouble when they're on their way to a field trip. And, one of the girls has an encounter with the space pig. I'll kind of leave it at that. Yeah. But this was kind of like while it obviously takes place in the future, it had a very 1990s kind of feel to it. They have their Walkmans and things like that.
Oh, really?
So, it was a little weird. But I don't know. Like I said, I didn't expect to like this, but, I always try to pick up
you almost look, a number by the one. Look on your face and your mannerisms, it's almost like you're ashamed that you liked it.
I didn't expect to like it, but I did like it. Delilah Dawson, she's a good writer. She's done Star Wars. She's done some Spider-Man and different things, and she does a lot of stuff, and I like her as a writer. But I don't know. I guess I was biased just by the name of the book. To think I wasn't going to enjoy it. But I really did. Like I said, I'm not going to really give away anything, but it was a fun read, and I do recommend it. So I'd try to get out there and pick up a copy.
All right. Cool. All right. My first one I thought was apropos. Marvel Comics, Valkyrie, Jane Foster, number one. Writer Jason Aaron and Al Ewing. And artist is Cafu, it's C-A-F-U, but his name is Carlos Alberto Fernandez Urbano.
Oh, okay. I was wondering.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know who Cafu was.
I had to look that up, because in the book, everything, it just says Cafu, and I'm like, is it Cafu, or do they call him C-A-F-U? Like, I'm DJ. Some people say Deej. But, Deej, but anyways. So I grabbed this because of a lot of the talk, and like I said, when we were reading War of the Realms, this is one of the stories that I actually did want to pick up, and I was looking forward to it. When I read it, I was very excited to pick it up. About halfway through, I wasn't as excited, but then it picks up towards the end with a pretty interesting villain. It's kind of fun, but I wouldn't say that this is like a huge, this didn't really grab me. It's not like I'm not sitting here telling you that I can't wait for number two. It's one of those where if I happen to come across number two, I'll be like, oh yeah, I want to see that, but I'm not actually seeking it out. But I do think it's fun to read with everything that's going on right now with Jane Foster, and it does give a lot of that backstory. So maybe people that don't know a lot about Jane Foster, wielding the hammer and her history, you can pick this up. and you'll learn some of that stuff and also get a decent story going forward. But yeah, like I said, it's an ongoing series, so it didn't say, I haven't seen a number on it. Have you?
Just no, I think ongoing. It's ongoing.
Yeah, so I don't know where it's going to go, how, you know, but at the end, the last page was, you were like, oh, that's an interesting, and when I say an interesting, do you know who it is? Have you seen it yet?
Yeah, I was going to offer a counter opinion because I really liked this book a lot.
Oh, really? Oh, cool.
Yep. I thought the art was fantastic.
Yep.
I had never seen Cafu before, but I thought his art was great. I really liked it. I thought it was fun all the way through. I mean, the beginning, the setup for the beginning was a little cliche, I thought.
So that's what
but
I meant. Yeah.
I thought
it didn't grab me at the beginning. Where maybe I came in with higher expectations, so I felt a little let down, but it did pick up, and at the end I was like, oh, that's interesting.
Well, I guess
I don't want to give it away because
it started off with very generic villains.
Yes.
But I don't know. I thought it was fun.
Okay.
In the beginning. But then when you
can I ask you a question without giving it away? Don't say who the generic villains are. Have you ever heard of those before?
No, I think they were brand new.
Okay. Because I'm like, am I missing something? I'm like, because they gave a backstory to them and everything. And
well, and if they weren't brand new, they're definitely not anybody I'd really come across.
Right. So that's, I'm glad you read it, but it's like, that's kind of how I felt. It was like, and it was a lot of feeling out at the beginning, which a lot of backstory, if you already knew it, you were like, okay, let's go. And so I was a little bit let down there because I thought the way they ended it in War of the Realms with her story there and how she became Valkyrie, I thought that was really cool. So I think my expectations were very high coming in, but then I don't give away the ending, but that villain at the end, I think I never saw that coming.
I didn't either. I didn't know who it was. So I'm definitely very intrigued to go into issue number two. I don't know. I thought, because when we're talking the beginning, like we're only talking about two pages or so, you know, of the setup with those villains.
It wasn't very long either, the whole story.
Yeah. And then it kind of moves on from there. But I don't know. Like I said, I know you weren't really dumping on it. But,
no.
You know, you also said you weren't super looking to seek out issue number two. I don't know. Like I said, I really liked it. I thought I liked her character. I liked some of the places they took her as far as her professional life goes and some of the
She has a
question she's going to have to answer forward.
How does Blank deal with this? I thought that was cool.
Well, yeah, but even – well, again, I mean, can we talk about it without giving too much away? But when she talks to, Brunhilde or whatever her name is later on, it seems like she's going to have some decisions to make on how she's going to live her life going forward.
Right,
And I think that was really cool.
But that's all in, like, the last third, or middle to the end. That's, like I said, it's like...
Well, it's kind of from page three on, really. I mean, it picks up on like the third page or so.
It's of all the books I'm reading,
this is a 21-page story. So if you throw away the first two pages, it's still about 90% of the book.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Like I said, I'm not also saying like it's a must read. Like it's not Daredevil,
right,
or anything. Like
that's all I'm
if
saying.
If I don't go on any further, I probably won't
and
miss
that's
it.
That's my point. Right,
but. But, I mean, I did really enjoy it, so I will look to pick up issue two and go forward. Because, again, I like her as a character. I liked her as Thor. This is not her as Thor, but it's, like, the closest thing to it.
Well, and there's actually a story
in there. It's basically her living
in
Thor.
Right.
Yeah, it's her living in Thor's world.
Yeah.
You know, she's still in Asgard. She's still surrounded by all that mythology.
Right.
And I think going forward, they didn't really go into it too much in this issue, but there's probably going to be an adjustment period between the powers she used to have and what she was able to do as Thor and what she might be able to do as Valkyrie.
Right.
Because I would imagine there's a drop in power level there.
You
know, to some degree, but she's going to have different, obviously we saw some different abilities that she has. That she wouldn't have ever had before.
Right.
So, I don't know. Like I said, I thought there were some interesting things in there. The weapon that she has tailors her strikes to the strength of the person that she's fighting.
Right.
So, you know, how is that going to scale upward and downward? Like, if she finds herself fighting the Hulk, is she going to be able to, you know, stand toe-to-toe with him right. or not? I don't know. Like I said, I think it opened up a lot of really cool things. And, you know, this is more than we usually go into on a recommended reading.
I know.
But I don't know. I liked it. Well, I think it was really good.
Yeah,
so.
And like I said, I liked the other part that the main villain at the end, he the powers that he gets that – in compilation,
it's gonna be difficult
with
he's
what
be
he already
to
has.
Defeat.
Yeah,
that's
awesome.
Yeah, it's gonna be,
so
he's gonna be tough to handle.
Yes.
So she definitely has a good first, like her first story arc is gonna be pretty
yes.
memorable. I would think.
Yes.
Yeah.
So. All right. So, hey, I mean, I think we both liked it the same. I think I came yeah. in with higher expectations, so that's where I kind of fell in.
Right.
But all right. So our last one. Go ahead.
Yeah, so probably no surprise to anybody at this point. The second book is House of X, issue number one. Obviously, Marvel Comics. It's written by Jonathan Hickman, art by Pepe Larraz. So this book couldn't have had more hype going into today than any. I mean, this book had more expectations riding on it than anything in recent memory. As far as, you know, new releases.
It as I said last night, I hadn't read it completely last night when we talked about it. Now you've read it completely. Right. I think we both see yes. what Slade was talking about. We'll talk about yeah. it briefly right now. I think we can both say that, get it. Pick
yeah.
this up.
This is, even if you're not necessarily a past X-Men fan, I still say get it. Like, I tried to sell this book to every person that came in today.
Did you chase them in the parking lot like Slade does?
I didn't
me?
Chase anybody outside, but I did sell, especially after I got a chance to read it, which I didn't get a chance to read it till fairly late in the day. I actually sent you this write-up before I even had read it. I just knew that we were going to talk about
yeah.
it, so I sent it along. I didn't get a chance to read it till about 5 o'clock, but I was selling it to people all day anyways. But, once I got a chance to read it, I know I mentioned earlier that I had, you know, had a 10-page preview
right.
prior to release. But, you know, this was, I think, 50 pages or so. I mean,
50, 60
that
pages,
10-page
yeah.
that 10-page preview was really just a drop in the bucket. So, like Slade said, if you listen to our podcast from last night, if you had a chance to read that, Slade mentioned reading the white pages in between
yes.
and, you know, everything that goes along with it. Just to reiterate that, yes, there is a ton of information in this book. That
it's not boring either.
Not boring, and it is definitely relevant. Like, if you skip it, like you had kind of mentioned last night, the Watchmen and how you could, you know, skip the comic within the comic.
Yeah.
I don't know that you could – I guess you could skip this stuff, but you're really going to lose a lot if you don't read it.
Here's the thing. With Hickman's writing, it makes you want to find more. So
right.
There's so much detail in like Slade was saying last night, the way he has to be communicating with the artists, because there's a lot of panels
right.
with no words, but they mean so much. So
yeah.
it's with his writing, you get to that page and you're. I found myself looking at ads to make sure it wasn't.
Make sure you were right.
You know what I mean?
Anything.
You're like, is this something? And it's and even those, like, we call them the white pages, and you'll know what we mean when you see it. You're reading the finest of fine print, and
yes, I went to all those little
yep,
little
and
things.
You're trying
and,
to figure out what it means and what it's gonna mean, and I think my wife will kill me if she hears me say it, but I'm going to say it anyway. The funnest part, the most funnest part of this whole thing is it's only 12 books. It's one a week.
Right.
But it's going to be, you know what I mean? It's not like War of the Realms where you got to pour over 4 books 1 week, 3 next, whatever. It's one book that you can really immerse yourself in a week. And if next week's book is like this, this is going to be not a lot of investment of time, but a lot of fun, I think.
Yeah, but this will definitely, I didn't get a chance to read this twice today, but I will read it again
yes.
tonight or tomorrow, because I feel like there's so much in here that,
well,
you know, you could continue to unpack it for a little while.
What I'd like to do is Slade, we're trying to get Slade to join us, and I'd like to do the podcast where we break down the book, but we'll break down this and Power of X.
Powers of X. Powers of 10.
And
it's powers. It's House of X and Powers of 10.
Yes.
If it matters, but yeah. It may matter story-wise.
So if we could do that, I mean, I want to read it again just before I read the Powers of 10 and just be able to be like, and then have a huge discussion on that. We could do the whole podcast on that. I think that would be a blast. And, I mean, it's like I'd love to have Slade in. That would be, I mean, would be a long one.
Now, a slight correction to something that I said last night. You know, I did talk about those two series being kind of concurrent series, but maybe not necessary to each other. But if you go to the last page and you look at the reading order for this series, they are intertwined. I think they are going to go off in different directions, but it feels like you can't get away with one or the other.
You're going to
have to read both. And really, you want to read both.
Of course.
Like, anybody that read this one, there's no way they're going to come back and say, well, I don't care about reading Powers of 10
next week.
You have to. Yep. But what I thought was interesting is if you look at the reading order of this, it's kind of like you read House first and then Powers of 10 number one next, but then you read Powers number two and then you read House number two or something like
that.
If you look at that reading order.
Does it go in that order?
It does, or it's like you have to read Powers and Power, and they're going to be released that way. So
they're actually coming out in the correct order.
They're coming out in the correct order. If you just read them the week they're released, you're going to be fine.
Right.
But you're going to get back-to-back issues of Powers 2 weeks in a row.
Correct.
And then House 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah, so it goes House, Powers, House, Powers, Powers, House, House, Powers, House, Powers, House, Powers.
Right.
So you double up
so
on
there's two
each
weeks,
of them.
Right, you double up on each one
but
of them.
But did you notice that three of them are highlighted in red?
Well, I did, but
I
I'm not sure what
that
means. Yeah, I don't know what that means.
And after you're done with this book, you're looking for everything.
Yeah, everything.
And
yeah.
That's the stuff that I love. Like, everything means something. And this is going to be fun.
Yeah, I absolutely love this book. I know we're not going to get into details because we want to break it down further. But go out and buy this book. Like, if you've never read X-Men, go out and buy this book. If you're a big X-Men, longtime fan, go out and buy this book. If it's your first time in a comic book store ever, buy this book. I think it's great. And I think
if it's your first time in a comic book store and you're listening to us, lucky us.
Yeah, exactly. But like I said, I think buy this book and buy the next one and buy all 12 of these. I am really excited for where this book is going to lead us. I don't feel like I'm overstating it, but it really is going to be a lot of fun, and it sets the stage, and it is different than, like, I had people asking me today if this was like a return to old X-Men, things like that, and it's not.
Right.
Like, to me, this is a brand new direction. This is not something that we've ever seen before. There's so many questions raised from this first issue, and I know Slade touched on a couple of them last night. I'm hoping that we have a few of the answers next week with Powers of 10. But, you know, because this book kind of starts off, it almost starts off like you've missed the whole beginning. Like, this, it almost feels like Star Wars, where you're coming into the second trilogy.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff established on page one that you have no idea where any of this stuff came from.
But they're building it, though. It's
well,
nice.
Right. That's what
it's
I'm saying.
Really nice.
Like, I think you're going to see it. It's going to unravel as we go forward. But it starts off. Like, you're not starting off at the beginning of the story.
No, no, but you don't need to have any background at all.
No, you don't. That's not right, and that's not what I'm trying to say.
No, I know.
But, like, where they are in this story is not anywhere they've ever been. And it doesn't necessarily start out immediately telling you how they got there. I think all the, I think everything we want to know is going to be answered before the 12 weeks are up. But,
oh yeah.
And I definitely agree. And that's why I said before, if you've never read X-Men, you don't need any prior knowledge.
Right.
But I also think that it didn't necessarily throw away everything that happened in the past either. So there's going to be stuff in there for longtime fans that are that's going to be brought back around, but it's also very new reader friendly.
Yeah.
I think
if you like detail and you like to find nuances, that, I mean, this is going to be a great run. And yeah. I mean, clearly we can't recommend it enough.
No, yeah. So, it was great.
I
think it definitely lived up to the hype. There's lots of things that have a ton of hype and they don't necessarily live up. This one for me definitely did. I also wanted to point out, actually I'm going to pull up Twitter really quick because Jonathan Hickman put out a tweet. I just saw it when I was at dinner, so it was pretty recent. But this is something that I was going to bring up anyways, and I wanted to reiterate it because he put it out there as well. Give me 1 second to pull it up. So, actually he put this out yesterday. I guess I just read it. But he talks about House of X and Powers of X coming out basically every week for the next 3 months.
Yep.
Here are some important things that haven't been mentioned that you might want to be aware of. And he goes on. There's like 5 tweets that follow. I'm not going to read them all word for word, but the gist of it is this. The way comics are ordered, these being weekly series, we have had to commit to the first 3 issues before we had any sales data for issue number 1.
Right. I think you talked about that in the past. You talked about it a few weeks ago.
So I already know that I probably don't have enough copies of issues 2 and 3
right.
coming, and a lot of stores may be in the same boat. Jonathan Hickman says in his tweet, don't blame your stores, blame him, because he chose the way these things were going to be released.
Right.
As store owners, you know, we went in pretty deep on issue number 1, and it's hard to go that deep on issue number 2 when you have no sales data on issue number 1.
Right.
I'm not saying that I don't have any copies of this coming. I do, but I think based on the response from this one today, and I think the response that we're going to get over the next couple of days because of word of mouth,
right?
That this is going to be hot. So, and the reason why I and he brought it up is that there are going to be future printings of this available. May not be first prints, but they're already back to press
yep.
on the first 3 issues with second prints.
I would say the
so
most
if you want to get onto this,
put it in your pull list. Go
right,
in and
put
just
it on your
say,
pull
I want
list
this
and get on
get
it.
Get on it and you'll get it as soon as possible because, you and Slade talked about it last night, and I think this is going to be one of those things where, like you were saying, where you want to have extras on the shelves, but that's might not be possible right now, and it's just that good. And the word of mouth is
I will hand sell and make sure every copy is out of my store, you know, in a day or two.
Right.
Because I will suggest it to every customer that comes in, especially now having read it. I'll make sure that everybody sees it.
That's good. Especially now that you've read it.
it's hard to hand sell books that you haven't read yet.
Right, right.
You know, it's like, hey, by the way, I have this book. I haven't read it yet, but it's great. You need to pick it up.
Yeah.
You know, that doesn't go as far as saying, hey, I read this.
This
is fantastic.
Right.
You need to buy it. I am out of the regular cover. I think we mentioned that last night that I had a pretty high sell-through on that. But I've got plenty of the variant covers left right now, enough to get through at least another day. But by Friday, I'm hoping to be out of this. I will have second prints coming. And I will probably go in and back up orders on second prints for number 2 as soon as they put them out there. But like I said, just wanted to put that out there that if you don't get the copy you want right away, there are backup printings coming. I wouldn't necessarily look at it from the collector standpoint of having to get first printings. As a reader, you're going to want to read this, and I would take it in any printing I could get it.
Right.
So. But if you want them, get out there and ask for it, you know, ask for it now because the sooner we know how many we need to order, the better it's going to be.
Yep.
And that's it. That's the PSA from the comic book store owner. So
there we go. All right. That's it for this week. Hit us up on Twitter, at @brightside_chat. Email us at thebrightsidechat@gmail.com. We're on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, blah, blah, blah. We are on
everything.
Facebook.
Facebook.com/brightsidechat.
Yep. Yeah, let us know, especially if you picked up House of X, because let's get that conversation going.
Yeah, get that. Hit us up on Twitter and let's start talking about
it. Let's get that going. Cause
spoilers will be all over Twitter, I would imagine.
I haven't figured out when we're talking about it next, but it's definitely going to be a subject. So, yep. All right. That'll do it. I got to get to bed.
All right. Take care.
Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, Fred. Thanks for listening to the Bright Side Chat. We have a few sponsors who we'd like to mention. Arkham Comics and Games of Pearland, Texas. You can find them at arkhamcomicsandgames.com, one word. A. Pennyworth's Comics and Collectibles in Matthews, North Carolina. You can find them at apennyworthscomics.com. Apothesis Comics and Lounge in St. Louis, Missouri. You can find them at apothesiscomicsstl.com. Friendly Neighborhood Comics of Bellingham, Mass. You can find them at friendlycomics.com. Legends Comics and Games of Littleton, Mass. You can find them at legendscomics.com, comics with an X. And also Rubber Chicken Comics of Bellingham, Mass. And you can find them at rubberchickencomics.com. So what's cool is all of our sponsors have agreed to give our listeners a 10% discount on any comics we talk about in our podcast. So if you hear it in our podcast, just go into any of the stores that we've mentioned and tell them you listened to the Bright Side Chat and you heard about this comic there, and they will give you a 10% discount on any of those books. Hopefully you guys can take advantage of that, and thank you to all of our sponsors. Thanks for listening.